WBDGFM HD1, Indianapolis.
You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go! It's going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to
this. Open your action.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen's jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors. Will you let this be taken away from you?
No, sorry.
No way.
You must go seize the moment.
It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
This is Ben Davis. We're coming.
And welcome to Inside Ben Davis Football. I'm Indy's Giant.
I turned on the wrong mic. I said I was going to do this right this week.
It's okay. We're ready.
It's been a couple of days for me, Coach.
I'm sorry.
It's been a couple of days. I'll tell you off air. But okay. It's been a couple of days, so brain's elsewhere. So welcome to Inside Ben Davis Football on Indy's Giant 90.9. I'm John Easter. We have Bryce Anil here.
Hello,
I was,
Coach.
I was just saying to Bryce, you want to do this? He's like, oh, is that hard? I was like, oh, no, you just push buttons and then...
It's okay. We're rolling.
You see what I do?
Next week, we'll
missed
be the producing
the, I
debut.
Missed the block, Coach. I missed the block, and the quarterback got sacked. No. That's what happened. Coach Russ Mann is with us, and we get to talk about a big win over the Pike Red Devils this week. So, yeah, that's your pitch.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to start off, how is these – I mean, I guess just today and yesterday, but how's it been compared to the last couple of, you know, weeks now that you're coming off a win?
Yeah, yes, it's enjoyable now. You have to learn how to win as well, the repetitiveness of the season and coming back in on a Monday and relearning a whole new game plan and relearning a whole new scheme, a whole new whatever, whoever playing, so... back to the drawing board and staying humble off of the win, staying hungry and trying to get another win and preparing for Center Grove.
Yeah. What do you think, what was different from this game? Like a couple big things that you noticed that were different this game compared to your game against Cathedral and Avon?
There's challenges in the game of football where if you only play on one side of the ball in – There are teammates that you leave during team meal that you don't see again until after the game. And so you have to trust that they're doing their job and they're doing it to the best of their ability. If you're an offensive lineman, you don't see the defensive backs until after the game. If you're a defensive linebacker, unless you're on special teams, you don't see the running backs or the receivers at all. So you just have to trust that everybody's doing their job. And that was one thing we talked about all last week preparing for Pike was we had some things that we were saying to each other all week long so that during the game you just remembered that everybody's out there doing their job or the victory. So I thought we did a nice job in all three phases, and it was nice to finally compliment each other where if we did get a big stop, then the offense capitalized off it. And I felt that that was the way that we put the game away. And I thought a crucial moment was the way that our defense got a stop just before half, and those 3 points that we were able to sneak onto the board just before halftime gave us breathing room in the second half, and I thought those were big 3 points that our offense and special teams were able to put on the board for us.
And Coach, you know, the long drives there in the first, I mean, you get to halftime, what, there are only four drives?
We only had the ball three times.
Yeah.
I mean, we scored all three of them.
Right, three times.
And that's a credit to Coach Brandon Johnson, the offense coordinator for Pike. He has done nothing but impress me as an offense coordinator for them, and he did a great job with them last year, and he had a great game plan of how he paced that game, and he did a nice job play calling again, and it took a while to get those stops, and then our offense didn't have as many possessions in the first half, but luckily we were able to capitalize on every time we had the ball.
Yeah, I mean, you guys were very run-heavy this game. He threw 8 for 17, 49 yards, but specifically where I really thought was good for you guys mixed it up a lot in the run game. You guys gave Kenneth Doss some straight handoffs, some, you know, right straight up. So how important was that, you know, mixing in all those runners? Because combined, you guys had 168 rushes and four different dudes rushing it in Kinnett, Doss, Coleman, and Steffen. So,
and they're all like, there's like a, like you just said there, there's a four-headed monster. Gabe does a nice job of when he tucks it and runs. And then Doss took some carries this week. Jazz is just a workhorse in the backfield. And Jamil Stevens is doing a great job for us. He's a change of pace, and this is what he's built his whole life. Like, he's ready for this. And so that was nice to see him break off that 35-yard run for a touchdown and put us on the board. And we've been watching those for years here. He's done it at the freshman level. He's done it at the JV level. Now it's time to do it at the varsity level.
Yeah, and another thing, I thought you guys did really good at being able to read your plays and then also executing those stops, specifically on the defensive side. You guys had 4 tackles for loss, 74 total tackles, and 1 sack, which I believe was Asimota, if mm-hmm. I'm correct. So Asimota got in there. How important was that and something you guys practice on, being able to, you know, identify those plays, and when those plays are identified, to, you know, step them out and get the tackle in or pass deflection, whatever the case may be?
Well, they have a really good perimeter. Their perimeter is very athletic, very fast. They will continue to make plays on the perimeter there for Pike, and then their two running backs do a nice job, and then Mikey at quarterback is very, very, very fast, and he was taken out of the game really, really late, and I hope he bounces back as soon as possible because he is electric as a quarterback. He's only a sophomore, and he's going to just do great things for them, but they are very difficult to stop, especially if you get him in a third down, and then he takes off running. Wow, that is a very fast quarterback. So he extends some of their drives for them, but our defense did a nice job of getting the stops when they needed to, getting them off the field, either if that were by fourth down or forcing a few punts like they did, and then finally creating some turnovers. That was nice. Keontae put a helmet on a ball, and then D'Angelo Amy came in with a strip sack, and Caleb, I believe, was the one who recovered it. That was nice to see. Like, we've been close on some turnovers, but I think that's something that we got to learn how to do for our offense and just start to complement each other. The defense creating those turnovers, offense important. Points on the board, and we were able to do that in the fourth quarter, which was nice to see on those short fields, our offense finishing those drives and putting points on the board for us.
Yeah, that was going to be my question. You were challenged there in the fourth quarter. Obviously, you had a 10-point lead, 17-7, and then suddenly it's 17-14 going into the fourth quarter, and you got to make some plays. So how do you think your young team did with that?
Well, that's something that we talked about on Saturday and again on Monday with our guys, was that's how big that drive was just before half. We've got the stop. We had all 3 of our timeouts still, so we were able to our first play was incomplete, and then we hit a little screen for about 11 yards, got a timeout called. Hit a run for about 25 yards, caught a timeout, kicked the field goal, and snuck off with 3 points there, and those 3 points were huge. Once Pike scored in, if it was the early fourth quarter, if it was late third, once Pike scored to get to 14, luckily we had breathing room and we were at 17, and that's how big that field goal was for us. So just little moments like that, you know, it felt more like managing an NFL team there, where those guys, you know, manage that 2 minute timeout that they get, and then the other 3 timeouts, and those NFL coaches are just saving those timeouts as much as possible. And so our team being able to capitalize there at the end of the half was very crucial for us.
And I guess that leads into my next few questions here. My first one is, what was kind of the message to the team there at half? You know, you guys have been in that situation, another close game. What was the message there, trying to pull away and trying to, you know, come out with the win?
Well, at the beginning of the third quarter of the playoff game, Pikehead was kicking off, and it was kind of the same score, kind of the same type of feel. We didn't have a 10-point lead in the playoffs, but they had a surprise onside kick to begin the second half of the playoff game. So we knew that, you know, Pike did kick it deep to begin the second half this time around, but we knew that Pike was going to come out swinging, and so that was something we could hang our hat on, was like, look, this is right where the playoff game was last year, and this is what they did. They're going for it. This is exactly where they wanted to be. And what we had been saying to each other all last week, we kept repeating to each other in the locker room, just making sure we understood what the mission was, and we were all on the same page. And I thought, even though we punted of the first 2 drives of that second half, I felt like we weren't tapping out or felt confused. Like, we just had to get adjusted to any other adjustments for the second half.
Speaking of, Higgins had some beautiful punts on Friday.
He's booming.
They were going up, and they were beautiful. But it also leads me, you talked about it, how important it is to save your timeouts, and whether it's high school, college, you know, NFL. We've seen it a lot. you guys forced them to use some timeouts there when maybe they necessarily didn't need to. If I remember correctly, they used a timeout in the first quarter or second quarter, which maybe was not necessarily a time thing, so they could save time, but was maybe they didn't get the right play they wanted. Maybe you guys did a good job, and you know their play clock was winding down, and they couldn't figure it out. So like you said, that was really important. And how much do you think that affected the game, them not being able to time manage the way they really wanted to?
That's a good question. I don't know if they had a if that's a philosophy of theirs or how they manage their timeouts. There's some coaches that just want to, for the offensive side, sometimes coaches want to save all of them. And the way that we have designed our team, we were in our philosophy, we managed it the way that we wanted to in that first half. And we do try to save them unless there is some type of emergency or it is to avoid a devastating error that's about to happen, or we see something that we may burn one early, but we do try to keep them just so that we have some type of we have them in our back pocket for that final drive or that final minute or the final 2 minutes if we need to, or if we need to get the ball back and we have to use them to as they're running the clock. So it might be a philosophical thing for them that they were able to, make sure that they had the right play. So I can't question how they use theirs, but for us, we managed it the way we wanted to.
Coach, when you look at the Ben Davis and Pike rivalry, the Giants have really had Pike's number over the last few years. I think it's now 14 straight, if my memory serves me correctly.
Last win was September 4th, 2015.
Yeah, it's been 10 years. They've certainly been close a few times. I can think of a couple of years ago, one-point game. I mean, there have been some really close games in there, but a lot of times it's been the Giants heavily in front in this series. So as a coach, Ben Davis has certainly been on the wrong side of Warren Central, kind of sort of on the wrong side of Center Grove, which we'll talk about in the second half right now. Over the years, of course, when Ben Davis was on the wrong side of Warren, you were kind of on the right side back then. So when you look at those things, is it something that kind of gets in the heads of the team when you look and you're just like, man, we haven't beaten them in 10 years? Does that get in there, or is it a motivator?
It could go either way. It depends on how the adults lead it, but definitely you have 14, 15, 16, 17-year-olds. Some teams have 17, 18-year-olds, like us. Others have 14, 15-year-olds, whatever. We may be a little younger, but sometimes the team is too young to even remember those previous losses. Sometimes the team is a part, you might have somebody out there that was a part of all three or four of those losses. And you have to, throughout the week, make sure you change that mindset and understand the different ways that the game can go and get the young kids, hey, at this moment in the game, this is where the old team might think like this. This is how we have to think. There might be some adversity in the game. There might be a lead change that's in the game, weather and storms, or being able to have a killer instinct that if you are the underdog or feel like you're the underdog, and when you have a chance to capitalize and pull away, teaching the young kids on how to do that and understand that no lead is safe then, and playing a four-quarter game. For Pike, maybe there are some players that just think of it as a too big of a hurdle to cross, or as soon as there's something that goes bad for them, maybe they do think on the incorrect side, but they are getting close. They had in that playoff game last year, and that was a fight on Friday night. That was the score does not indicate how close that game was.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's one thing I was talking with the PA announcer when we got done with the game is
David Lindsay.
David Lindsay, he said hi. He told me and Jason to make sure he said hi. That's what we're talking about. Looking at the score, from the naked eye, it looks like you guys killed him. It looks like you guys, crushed him. You guys dominated. But, it was really close there up until about that fourth quarter. You guys started to pull away and pull away. What's the kind of mindset there, knowing you did beat him? You beat him by, three scores. But what's the mindset kind of there, knowing that they could have been way closer than naturally was, because 35-14 and... It definitely didn't look how the ending result was.
Well, the way that we were acting after they scored to make it 14, I felt pretty good. Our guys were did not show any. I loved our composure. They did not show any emotions that looked or indicated that they were nervous or scared or apprehensive about anything or questioning something or doubting anything. Our guys, I thought all. all three phases, all the players on the field, I thought they did an incredible job of being locked in, and they were playing for the win. I thought our guys did a great job on Friday night.
All right. Well, that'll wrap us up for our first segment here with Inside Ben Davis Football. I'll try not to make any mistakes as we come back from this short break on Inside Ben Davis Football. Now I jinx myself.
Thanks to Chuck Bear of eXp Realty for his support. Chuck Bear with eXp Realty offers services such as an analysis of your home's value, a marketing plan, and knowledge of the market. Serving central Indiana counties, Chuck Bear of eXp Realty can be reached at 317-698-3339. Online at exprealty.com. Thank you again to Chuck Bear of eXp Realty for his support.
Now back to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Bear Realtor.
And welcome back to Inside Ben Davis Football on Indy's Giant 90.9. John Easter here, along with Bryson Hill, and of course, the man, Coach Man from the Ben Davis Giants. Bet you got you've heard that a lot.
Maybe a few times. Yeah.
Just like I've got Easter Bunny and all the other varieties of Easter joke. The really good ones are like when people try the other holidays.
Okay.
Mr. Christmas. What's up?
That's a good one. That's a classic. There you go. Fair enough.
And you probably get hill jokes too, don't you?
Over
the hill.
Not as much. I used to though. But
yeah, I'm bringing back bad memories. Sorry.
Yeah. No.
It's just what teachers should
also
do.
For some reason, I've always like shared this with one of the kids in my grade, so it's kind of like been a mutual thing. So.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, we used to ask, are you guys brothers?
No.
Coincidences. But anyways, back to football.
Yeah.
Second
half, Inside Ben Davis Football. Thanks, by the way, we got to thank Chuck Bear for his support of this program.
Yes, sir. Of course. And, this Friday, you face Center Grove at Center Grove. In your first, I guess, quotation marks here, away game, because obviously you face Cathedral at Butler, which I know might have felt maybe more like a Cathedral home game, but how is that going to impact this Friday, you know, their crowd being loud? Because we've seen it with Ben Davis, obviously their crowds have been incredible, win or lose or whatever the case may be. So what's kind of the preparation like for going into this away environment, and how's that going to affect the game?
Well, that's a good question for off air too. Like, but on air, I will tell you the pieces that we definitely could be able to provide. But like, just painting the picture, Center Grove and I believe Carmel has done a nice job over the last about 10 years. They've done a nice job throwing home games in the environment they create. Center Grove has done it for about 15-20 years, and they built an end zone facility. If I remember right, it used to just be for their marching band for during pregame, but they do a great job with filling that place up on a Friday night and the environment that they create. So, you know, music-wise this week during practice, but the playlist has been a little different. You know, like just in my notes sections during warm-ups, like over the years of traveling down there with different teams and just putting the different songs that I hear, just making sure that we can start to kind of like get comfortable in the environment that we're going to be in on Friday night. And our guys are excited. Our guys are excited getting on a bus and traveling again. And we did that a lot this summer. We traveled to Purdue. We traveled to New Pal. We traveled to Franklin Central. We were getting ready to travel to HSC, but it got canceled for heat. But we got used to getting on a bus, traveling, and playing somewhere else so that our guys were ready for any type of environment that we would be in the playoffs this upcoming year. And then something like this game that we're getting ready to walk into on Friday night and getting down to Greenwood and playing Center Grove at Center Grove.
Yeah, and then also, of course, they are undefeated. They look pretty good, darn good this year. What is the preparation like that? Obviously, you never want to think of yourself as the underdog or you're never going to win. But what is kind of the word there that, you know, to not let this undefeated record, you know, make the boys scared? And what's kind of the... what's the message there?
Well, it depends on how you break down the team. And if... Center Grove, the evolution of how they have been as a program, where they were grind out. You know, you could talk about all the different running backs that they've had. You go all the way back to Max Norris, to Titus McCoy, Carson Steele, Daniel Weems. The stable that they have now, they're back to kind of being able to hand the ball off and gain yards. It seems like they've always had a stable of running backs, and they're kind of back to that again. But they are – they've evolved to where they can pass the ball for the first downs, and Oscar Sloan at quarterback starting to get real comfortable there as he learns varsity football, and he young sophomore quarterback for them that, you know, tall, does well, and he looks just like the last two quarterbacks, Gabe McWilliams and Tyler Cherry back there, like with a he's going to be putting up numbers for years for them. So just kind of getting what their identity is on offense. They do a great job, offensive coaches-wise, of making sure they play to their player strengths and what, you know, throws they can make or what how they can pick up first downs. And so just trying to figure out their identity of this new team for this year.
Yeah, and you saying that kind of leads me into my next question. I mean, their run game has been absolutely dominant. They spread it all around. They run on you. They run on your head. You know, last game, let alone against Marion, they beat them 55-0. They shared the ball between 11 different people, whether that being you know, design keeps for, you know, tight ends on fullback dives, or that be, you know, receiving rushes, or they obviously spread it between their running backs, or whether, like you said, it's Oscar Sloan taking off.
They had a blowout, so they got a lot of guys that got carries.
So they had 11 carries. Different people, 28 total carries for everyone, but 252 yards and majority of their touchdowns in six. Their running game has been dominant. Has that been one of the majority focuses this week? And I know you kind of got to focus on everything, but when you do realize a team is so-and-so more heavy, a team is this or that, you know, because they only threw the ball 11 times, well, it's still dangerous. You know, they went for, you know, 212 total. Oscar Sloan was 10 of 11, so he was still really, really efficient. That's a, you know, 90% completion rate. But how do you kind of approach that when you notice a team may be a lot more dominant on one end than they are?
And we are going to absolutely, we have to key in on the run, especially with Avon having success against us, and NFL Cathedral had some success against us in the running game. Even though they only had 8 points, Cathedral, I felt, was able to chunk off a few runs here and there. And we did a nice job of getting comfortable with it as the game went on. I thought Avon did too good of a job of running the ball on us. And so I feel like Center Grove might be maybe gearing up for that type of night. But then in the moment that you are selling out all out for that run, that's when the new Center Grove in the last decade, they have daggers on throwing it in the air, like picking up first downs. You get a nice stop on first down, and you hold in a second and nine, and they pick up a first down in the air, like a piece of cake, like it was clockwork. And getting him into some type of third and long puts you in a good situation, but getting Center Grove now into third and long has been more of a challenge in the last decade.
When you look at the way Center Grove does things, I mean, obviously got the man who is, you know, legendary in Indiana, Eric Moore, who's been doing it now 27 years. This is his 27th year at Center Grove. So obviously he's changed that program around. It was a solid program when he got there, but he certainly made them a state championship program, brought the wing T to Indiana, where you hadn't seen that for many, many years. But then everybody for a while started running the wing T, just like Center Grove was. So it kind of sounds like, from what you're saying, he's a little bit back to that, maybe a little bit with some wrinkles. We saw him go to the spread a lot more in the last few years, but, you know, I mean, they run the wing T since out of the womb.
No, no kidding.
At Center Grove, yep. They get into that wing T, and it's a difficult offense to defend.
Well, you got to be tough, and you have to understand that it's going to be a physical game then. And I'd probably say it on here about every other week. I hate saying cliches or something, you know, like, oh, it's going to be a physical four-quarter game. But, yes, this one is going to be a physical four-quarter game. They don't jump into their wing tee as often as they used to, but if they need to, they could run a whole game out of their wing tee. Their kids understand it and know it and know the verbiage of it. It's not their identity, but if they need to, at any given moment, they can jump through it. They could jump to it for a whole quarter and a half, and if they find somebody that they feel like they can attack on your defense, that they feel like there's somebody that's playing a little bit too soft or playing a little bit too tired or too weak, they will go at that person until either we get them off the field or then it's a running clock. So we have to identify who they might be going after or what they're trying to do against us.
And also, I think this is interesting. This is the second. There are two teams in the state with Giants as their nickname. Last week they played the Marion Giants. This week they get the Ben Davis Giants. So
yeah, hopefully
you have to stand up for the Giants, Coach.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hopefully,
yes, sir.
Hopefully this version of the Giants doesn't perform how last week's version of the Giants did.
I like to bring that up.
Yes. Yep. We're on air, so I'm going to stay humble. And like, but yes, I yes.
But yeah, I'm going back to how explosive their offense has been
for years.
Yeah, yes. And specifically this season, they're already up to 114 points on the season. 24, 35, 55. And then you guys obviously had you guys now 40. Not wait, hold on. Yeah, 49. Because you guys had that 14 against Avon, and then obviously you guys had 35 last game.
31. 45. But it's all right. We'll go with 49. Yeah. We'll take the 49 and whatever. It's all right. We'll go with it.
Maybe my calculations are off. But anyways, how interesting kind of focus are you on that? Like, how, like you said, it's been dominant for years, specifically this year. They're already up over the 100 mark. And how is that something you kind of look at and try to gauge going into Friday?
Well, it's how you manage a game and how we attack the game. So if we try to get into a scoring fest with them, they seem to have firepower that will continue to – that's not usually the way that you want to beat Center Grove. And defensively, they have a box that can control the run game and put pressure on a quarterback. So we don't want that type of game. So we obviously want to do something that can slow down their scoring and you know, create as many punts as possible, get them into as many third and longs as possible, not getting them into things that they can manage. And if the game goes well, and then if they jump to wing T for 2-3 series, making sure that we're ready for that part two. They got weapons, they got speed. They've done a nice job of developing probably about 5, 6, 7, 8 guys in the program that could just fly. And their connection with Coach Moore being their head track coach for decades just has translated with some of the track speed that they develop out there on the football field. So making sure that we understand that we're going down there for – it's going to be a four, in order to beat them, it is a four-quarter physical game that you're going to be exhausted afterward.
Yeah, and this isn't really related to Center Grove here, but I do want to ask this because he's been brilliant, Brian Garcia-Diaz. Mm. He's been awesome. He's
playing soccer right now. He's got a game right now against Pike.
Yeah, I saw that when we pulled in here. He was playing. And how important and how, you know, how reliable is that as a coach to take some stress off of you? Because there is, you know, other coaches around that don't feel comfortable with taking three. They don't feel comfortable that their kicker has whatever the case may be, whether it's the leg, the accuracy, whatever the case may be. How important is that to have a reliable kicker like him that you know is going to go out and is going to be consistent, whether it's through field goals, whether it's through PATs, whatever the case, because we also see that around the state. You know, some people don't have kickers they trust at all, so they just go for two every play. So how important is that to have a reliable kicker, you know, can kick a field goal when you need, kick a PAT when you need?
Well, you called him Brian Garcia-Diaz. I like to call him Brian Curry. Like, he's good for three. Like, so he hears that from me, about Steph Garcia-Diaz or Brian Curry from me about once a week. So, and he does a great job. And his family comes out and supports big time. And his brother, as I'm coming off the field on Friday night, he's like, good game, coach. Save a spot for me. So, like, young fella is going to be a kicker for us in the future. But, and Brian does a great job with managing both soccer and football. We have his schedule, and you know, we manage our practices around it, make sure that, you know, we did kickoff practice, and he took off after that to make sure he could join his team for the Giants tonight. But I believe Friday's field goal was his 10th field goal in program history, so that is nice. It's nice making those three balls every once in a while, like you know, splashing some threes in a game is always nice. So I like to finish as many drives with touchdowns as possible, but that field goal just before half was big by Brian.
That is one thing that the Giants have had over the years. You've had some pretty good kickers here, mm-hmm, at Ben Davis, and we could add Brian Garcia-Diaz to the list. Coach, or Brian Curry, or Steph Garcia-Diaz.
Yes.
There you go. Now you know what to call him on Friday night when he trots out there. All right, Coach. Final thoughts and Purple Rain and whatever.
Hey, Purple
else
Rain wants
to
come on
into.
Down. I know we're, we had some guys going to the volleyball game last night. We have some guys at the volleyball game tonight. We've been going to those flag football games. So if Purple Rain wants to make it down to Greenville with us, let's go ahead and party down there on the south side.
It's not nearly as far as it used to be now that there's I-69.
That's right.
You can You can shoot right down there. It used to be forever, but now it's kind of forever, but yeah, not that far.
We're ready.
25 minutes, so we'll cross our fingers for good traffic. And, yeah, hopefully the Giants can win third game in the last 16 against Center Grove. That's Friday night at Center Grove High School. Kickoff is 7 o'clock, pregame 6 p.m. right here on this station. You hear a replay of this show, followed by Giants Tonight with our own Bryson Hill. And, yeah, that'll be it. So, anything else, Bryson?
Not much. Just looking forward to the game, and good luck on Friday, Coach.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
All right. That's going to do it for Inside Ben Davis Football. Have a good evening and a good rest of the week.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.